From my part, I would like to extend a very warm welcome to everyone in the precious name of the Lord. As has already been mentioned, we are here today from several peoples and tongues. We would like as many as possible to hear the word of the Lord. We realize that it is not the masses who hear or believe the word of the Lord, but individuals who are called out in simplicity, and we may belong to them by grace. This is not presumption, but a humble statement that we can truthfully make, that we have found grace before God. And according to the words that Moses spoke to God, it reads like this: Lord, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Let me know your plans. A person who has truly found grace before God will recognize God's plan. He is included in this plan of God and has a share in what God is doing. All the prophets, all the men of God, and all the people of the Lord in their time had part in what God was doing. Then there is a prophetic period of the plan of salvation that is being fulfilled, and we are in the midst of this fulfillment in our generation. Of course, it is necessary to have one's eyes opened to this, and this is not something that one person can teach to another. It has to come from God. Seminaries teach conventional things, but the scriptures say in the prophet Isaiah, they will be taught by God. And that's what we want. We want divine insight and oversight into His plan for mankind, His plan for the church, and to go even one step further, we want to recognize His plan with the bride of the Lamb in order to partake in the marriage supper. Today, we are going to look at a topic that belongs specifically to these 2 days. Brother Müller already said that when everything was in order, the sentence was uttered, now Pentecost can come. If we look into the Holy Scriptures, then all of God's promises are yes and amen. They were not only spoken, they were literally fulfilled in those who believed them and who first received the word of God's promise into them. Today, God would have to corner us through His word and show us the necessity of this experience of being truly filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we would come before the face of God with a cry of our soul, and he could not help but give us what he has long since promised. And I am certain that we have come with a longing heart, and if we then believe that Jesus Christ is the same today, and as John said of him, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This divine experience is part of becoming a believer. It is the divine response to our acceptance by Jesus Christ our Lord. People who become believers are baptized because they have become believers. But then God gives the person the answer. One is the response of the person who has become a believer in God. And through the water baptism, he enters into a covenant of a good conscience with God. That is the response of a person who has become a believer. And then comes God's response to this believer. The first is water baptism. The other is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We are going to read some scriptures today. And please, let us not tense up, but let us open ourselves before God in perfect faith and trust that we do not have to storm heaven to bring something down. We must realize this. Pentecost is a fact in the plan of salvation, just as Golgotha and the Ascension are a fact in the plan of salvation. Christ was born. He suffered. He died. He rose from the dead on the third day. He ascended into heaven, and the Holy Spirit was poured out. He will not be poured out today or tomorrow. He has been poured out. And everyone who comes to God and accepts redemption through the blood of the Lamb in faith may partake of the Holy Spirit. I would like to take a brief look at the Feast of Pentecost from the Old Testament, which forms the basis for everything that happens in the New Testament. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. From verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering. 7 Sabbaths shall be complete, even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days. And ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves. Just this far. If you want, you can read from verse 11. what had to be done on that day. It was the day when the wheat harvest, the first of the wheat, the first sheaf, was brought before the Lord, and the priest had to weave it into these loaves. That which was already there was interwoven and joined with that which was new, and it formed a unity. The 50th day is called Pentecost and has been adopted in our language as Pentecost. Here, what had been sown was brought to the priest, and he wove the first fruits sheaf before the Lord, the first fruits of the field of harvest. Our Lord says, the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. He describes himself as the grain of wheat that had to fall into the earth so that it would not remain alone and then die and come forth to bear much fruit. God has basically already arranged everything in a marvelous way. The first fruits are not a mixed up bunch, but form the body of the Lord, interwoven and connected to one another through Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And if we belong to the first fruits, then we will find our place in the body of Jesus Christ, in the church of the living God by grace. Here is just the example. You know, first the feast of unleavened bread, the sheaf of first fruits, the feast of Pentecost, the weaving took place, and so on. Then came the great day of atonement. You can read about it. Also chapter 23, verse 26. My main concern in this text was that the first fruits were woven together before God, before the face of God. What had previously stood as individual stalks in the field was suddenly gathered. It was harvested, brought together, and bound together before the face of God. And the one was just like the other, the first ear like the last. Everything was the same. And so, as children of God, we are no more and no less. We are equal before the Lord God. He has saved us, called us, and brought us together so that we may form the first fruits by grace. This is no coincidence. God has arranged it this way. Let us turn to the scriptures that describe this day, the day of Pentecost, in more detail in the Holy Scriptures. Brother Müller has already read the word from Joel 3. There are a large number of scriptures that bear witness to what God has promised. In the New Testament, we then have the fulfillment. Let's start with Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Matthew 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It has already been indicated earlier that the divine answer must come. Jesus our Lord, who was a model and example for us in all things, said, For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. He was baptized, and as he was being baptized, the heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God descended. Jesus Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. He is the Son of God, and we are the sons of God. Just as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive again. The one is earthly life, but we are born into this world in order to die. Everyone knows that. All who have come here must also leave. And then there are people on earth who have realized that death is not the end, but that there was one who had power and authority over death and the devil, and that he came into our earthly flesh and thus accomplished reconciliation and redemption, snatching us from eternal death and giving us eternal life by grace. It was Jesus, our Lord, over whom the heavens was opened. I am so grateful that it was not Moses or Joshua, that it was not a man, not a prophet, but the one who could say in John 3, verse 13, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Incomprehensible to the people, he stood with both feet on the earth and spoke to them, saying, The Son of Man will return to where he came from, or to where he is in heaven. And he stood there with both feet. The heavens opened above him. And I have not heard that it has closed to this day. As certain as the experience of salvation that involves you and me happened on Golgotha, and we have a divine share in it, so certainly we do have a divine share in being filled with the Holy Spirit. Everything has happened through Jesus Christ: redemption, forgiveness, full salvation. But it was also he for whose sake the heavens were opened and the Spirit descended. We will see later that the same Holy Spirit also descended upon the church. Let us read the words from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and then chapter 2, from verse 1. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit, no own ability and will, but inspired, empowered, equipped with divine power, with the power of the Holy Spirit. This divine power should and must be revealed through the Church of the Living God. We see that on the day of Pentecost, Peter did not preach a sermon about the outpouring of the Spirit, but it happened. The outpouring happened. I wish I didn't have or need to preach a sermon about Pentecost today. I wish for myself and all of us that today Pentecost could become a divine reality in your life and in my life and heart. We have heard many sermons about it, and faith comes by hearing. But the faith that comes from hearing the Word of God must entail the promise we have heard and bring it to fulfillment. From verse 16, Peter elaborates and says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. In being filled with the Holy Spirit, there will always and every time be supernatural byproducts or side effects, because it is a supernatural event and experience coming from God. Every experience in the natural realm is explainable. It will be naturally comprehensible. Experiences with God are supernatural and cannot be explained by reason. People who cannot believe have great difficulty accepting that Christ was begotten by the Spirit. They only have a smile for us who can believe this so naively. When it is written, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The masses think to themselves, they are foolish enough to believe such a thing. Believing in what God has said is only foolishness to those who are lost. To those who are saved, this divine faith is the power of God. And in this way, we have experienced God, not just as a theory, but as the power of God. Do you think it is hard for me to believe that the same God who spoke the universe into existence out of nothing and is still causing it to proceed in a marvelous harmony today, that the same God would not be powerful enough to bring His spoken word to life through His Spirit in order to fulfill His promise? With God, all things are possible, and it is useless to rack our brains over it. The important thing is that we can believe from the heart. And I think that's what the word believing implies. Anyone who cannot believe everything that God tells us in His word, is not a believer in the eyes of God. For whoever does not believe God makes him a liar, so it is written. And how can we call God true on the one hand, and on the other hand have trouble believing what He has said? When He said, "Let the earth bring forth every plant," and so on, it happened. When He said, "Let the sun shine during the day," it happened, and it's still like that today. When He said, "Let the moon and the stars shine at night," it happened. Whatever God said, it happened. He didn't need anyone to help Him carry out His word and His plan and His will. But when it comes to experiencing our personal promises with God and receiving what He has promised us, then we must sit under the proclamation of the word with the same attitude as Mary did back then. She said, "Be it done to me according to your word." And so it happened. She received the word of the divine promise. The Holy Spirit came upon the word that she had received in her heart, and it was fulfilled. The same can happen here in this room this afternoon. We receive the word of the divine promise that has been addressed to us without any reservation, and say in faith, "Lord, may it be done to me today as you have said. Today you will baptize me with your Holy Spirit and divine fire. Today you will give me the sight of faith so that I can see the heavens opened and realize that the Spirit has descended." We see here the byproducts and the term "in the last days." You all know that God has a calendar. With Him, a day is like our 1,000 years. So here it refers to the last 2 days, the last 2 millennia, before the 7th day, the last millennium, the 7th millennium, as His kingdom dawns. These last days last from the first coming of Christ until His return, which is now very near. And what our brothers experienced with God at the beginning is for us today. But we must believe as the scriptures have said. The whole book of Acts is living proof that wherever the gospel was preached and people believed and were baptized, God did not fail to respond, but that the believers were also filled with the Holy Spirit. There are, of course, many areas in which the Holy Spirit works. Even the conviction of unbelief, of sin, of all sorts of things is granted to us through the Spirit of God. The new birth, the renewing, everything happens through the Word and the Spirit of God. But then comes the filling with the Spirit, the equipping with power from on high. In these last days, God needs a church that is truly equipped with divine authority, a church of the living God that is interwoven with one another and with the head, connected and belonging together. Just as Paul writes to the Corinthians, that we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. It is one Spirit who works all in all. This is what it says in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And then these gifts of the Spirit are listed in detail, which we have not brought with us, but which God has placed in the church, which forms His body through the outpouring of the Spirit, so that the ministry of the Lord can continue. Verse 8 says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. This does not mean that someone sits down and gives his wisdom for the best. This is about the divine, hidden wisdom of His will and His marvelous plan, which is useful to us all. With God, neither our wisdom nor our knowledge is in demand, but only that which comes from Him. It goes on to say, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Not that you present your knowledge, and I mine, and some more theirs, but that the divine knowledge of God's will may be communicated by divine revelation through the Holy Spirit to the church. That is what God wants now. We can all look back and see what God did 2,000 or 4,000 years ago, And those who are very familiar with the ministry of Brother Branham also know what God has already done in this generation. But our concern is to find out from God what should happen now. Not my opinion and your opinion, not your wisdom and my wisdom, not your knowledge and my knowledge, but worked through the Spirit of God. The promises are shown to us in the Word, and we hold on to them. All things that God does according to His Word. The other gifts of the Spirit are listed here. We do not need to read the verses in detail now. The same it says in 1 Corinthians 14, from verse 2, which gifts are to be revealed in detail in the church. Absolutely nothing has changed with God. On the contrary, it remains the case that God's plan of salvation for His church must look exactly the same at the end as it did at the beginning. Nothing can have changed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we read verses 20 to 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 20 to 22. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now He which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. This is not a superficial word, but of great importance in terms of doctrine. An earnest, a down payment, a guarantee that the one who has received the Spirit of God as a seal, not just as an anointing, but as a divine seal. And we will come to that in a moment, because many, and there are millions of them all over the world, have received an anointing through the Spirit without having received the Word of Truth. And only when the Word of Truth has been received, can the seal of God be given to the individual by God through the Holy Spirit. Let us read in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Here we see the order that is clearly shown to us in the Word of God by grace. No one needs to interpret here, but everyone only needs to receive first the Word of Truth, the full Gospel, which includes every divine promise. When we have believed this as the word of divine truth and have received our salvation, God seals us through the Holy Spirit. It is a promise that He has given us by grace. We absolutely must know this difference and still hold on to the fact that God stands by His word. It is not enough for us to say, yes, if millions are anointed with the Holy Spirit, what do we want with it? Let's ignore the millions who go their own way. Let's look at Jesus Christ, our Lord, over whom the heavens were opened. He was the Word made flesh. He was not the interpretation. He was the Word made flesh. And the Spirit came upon Him. Today, as true believers, we have not run after an enthusiasm, but have received the word of divine truth, the full gospel of Jesus Christ, with all its promises in faith. And this divine word in us entails the Spirit of God, because the Word has come from the Spirit of God. It is like a divine cycle. And so the Lord speaks through the prophet Isaiah, the Word that came out of my mouth will not return unto me void, but will accomplish what I send it to do. People who will share in the first resurrection and who will be caught up in the rapture and see the face of the Lord are those who not only let themselves be blessed, but who received the word of truth, the gospel, the full gospel without any compromise. For thus it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, not by some that fit into our concept, but by every word of God. And we have heard it often enough. It was enough for the enemy to succeed in tempting Eve to transgress one word. That was enough to bring about the fall. But then came Christ, who through His obedience as the Word made flesh became the author of salvation for all who obey Him and let themselves be sanctified in the truth of God's word. For this is what He said, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth. All this belong together. In Him you also are. Are we really? Are we really Or is it just written here? Or was it just the believers back then? In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. If we have not yet experienced this, it can happen today or at any moment. We must emphasize one thing clearly. We have received the word of truth. If that is the case, say Amen. We have received the word of truth. We have received the full gospel with all its promises in faith. Amen. So God cannot help but confirm in us the word He has placed in us and give us the seal of His Spirit by grace. This does not happen for your sake, but for the sake of the word that you have received. And then, again, no man can boast before God. If someone says, I have been baptized in the Spirit, just forget it. Or when someone says, yes, I have been sealed. Such people, you would think there should be a question mark here. Anyone who has really experienced God considers this experience to be so valuable, so precious, that they carry it in their heart as the most precious treasure there is. Because those who have things so much on their lips will not have them so much in their hearts. And he who has them deep in his heart will not have them so much in his mouth. This is a very old wisdom, and it doesn't just begin today. This Spirit of God comes upon all those who have been born again to a living hope through the seed of the Word of God, and who have received the gospel and all that is written in it. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, the admonition is written that is then addressed to those who have had this experience. Ephesians 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. This is part of it. Those who have received forgiveness can pass it on. They can pass it on in full measure. And they can forgive. Yes, they can forgive. Those who cannot forgive have not received forgiveness. Those who have it can pass it on. Those who have experienced reconciliation with God can pass on this reconciliation because they have received it. He has been reconciled. All unforgiveness is gone. All bitterness is gone. All gall is gone. The Spirit descended in the form of a dove, and the dove, as we all know, has no gall. Beautiful. With the old people, they used to say, not that my bile is overflowing. And then we knew how much the clock was ticking when Opa said, make sure my bile doesn't overflow. You knew something was coming. The Spirit descended in the form of a dove. No more bitterness, no more bile. The sweetness, the kindness, the peace of God, which is higher than all understanding of men, rules our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know what I would like to see as the crowning of God's work at the end of this time of grace? Such a church that is interwoven with one another and with the Lord. Word from His Word, Spirit from His Spirit, life from His life, joined with the head, united with all the members in the true unity of the Holy Spirit, believing the same Word and being sealed with the same Holy Spirit. Then a deep and intimate joy arises. Then all gnawing doubts cease. How many ask themselves the question, will I be there when the Lord comes? The moment the sealing has taken place, then you can stand on your head or on your feet. Then it no longer matters. Then you will be there, because the seal of God can never be broken. The seal of God is God's guarantee that I will arrive at my destination unharmed. Nobody can change things on the way as God has made them. There is an absolute divine certainty. As I said, not just anointing, but sealing by the Holy Spirit. After we have received the word of truth, heard the gospel of our salvation, and believed, and then God confirms in you and in me, through the sealing with the Holy Spirit, that we have believed, that we have received. And I am convinced that God will do it in everyone, indeed must do it, so that on that day when the Lord comes, even this mortal body may be made alive by the power of God that dwells in us. If a Job in the Old Testament already had such an assurance of faith and could say, I know that even when my body shall be utterly consumed and so forth, and there shall be nothing left, I will see God, for I know that my Redeemer lives. And just as surely as the Lord's body did not see corruption, we too will receive a resurrection body that can never grow old or sick, but a body like the Lord has today. This day is about Pentecost, about a true experience with God. the 120 had gathered together. They had received into themselves what the Lord had told them. And then came the confirmation. The Holy Spirit fell. They were all of one heart and one soul. And then the power of God was revealed through those who had become believers, who were truly blessed by God. And this is what I wish for myself and for all of us, that at the end of the time of grace, we may experience such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the true seed of God, and that in everyone who has received and believed the true word of God's promise, such a quickening power of God may come into us. That every promise that is written here in this word finds its fulfillment through us, as we've read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. There we are directly involved more clearly than perhaps in any other verse. From verse 20 again, 2 Corinthians 1, from verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. By us. This by us we cannot delete. It belongs to it. Just as God has redeemed us through Christ, so Christ reveals Himself through the redeemed church. Just as every word of God that was prophesied about Him, the Redeemer, was fulfilled in Him and through Him, so every word that was given to His church must be fulfilled through the church and in the church. So, just as nothing happened without Christ, nothing can happen without us in the kingdom of God. At the moment, this may sound as if someone has taken it too far. No, not at all. God can do nothing without us. Should He do it through the unbelievers? Through the atheists who don't believe Him at all, who go their own way? Through whom did God reveal Himself? Through people whom He could speak to, who believed Him, who were obedient when He called and sent them. We could mention very many, from Abraham to recent times. They were always people who heard the word of God's promise, believed it, and walked before God in this obedience of faith. They spoke and wrote, driven by the Holy Spirit. Today, we want the same Holy Spirit who was on all the prophets, through whom Christ was begotten, and who came upon Him at His baptism, when the heavens were opened there, that this Holy Spirit to come upon us. How many would like that? Let me see your hands. God bless you. Do you believe that God has only given us this promise so that we have a hope, or because He also wants to fulfill it? God wants to fulfill every promise He has made. I know that we are guests in this building, in this house, but I would like to tell you one thing. When we go into prayer afterwards, Do not close your hearts or your mouths. We don't have to be unnecessarily loud. We all know that. But we also don't need to form a silent society here today. We can give God the honor. And our God is not deaf like the God of the priests of Baal and the Asherah priests. They had to yell. It was unbearable. Elijah did not yell at all. He looked up to heaven and he spoke to God as if he saw him. And the answer came. He said, Lord, let it be known today that you alone are the true God of Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all this according to your word. He had just finished speaking when the fire came down. Earlier he said, the God who answers with fire is the true God. Why can't we talk to our Heavenly Father in the same way today? Do children yell at their parents when they want something? No, they speak. And the parents know that they have to give. Our Lord says, if you who are evil can give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Today we can talk to God like a friend talks to his friend. Today we can say, Lord, we have heard your word. We have believed it. Now honor it. We thank you for doing it. Don't ask for an open heaven anymore. Heaven is open. What had Jesus already said in the Gospel of John 1? From today or from now on, you will see heaven open and the angels of God descending and ascending. Heaven is open. We can see the glory of God. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Just as our brothers and sisters were at the beginning, we will now unite in prayer before God and take a little time to thank our God sincerely, but do it in faith. No one needs to ask now. Perhaps I should also say this. Now no one needs to ask or wait any longer. At that time, Jesus still had to say, wait in Jerusalem. He had to go to heaven first. The Spirit had to be poured out before they could receive Him. He has been poured out. We can receive Him. No one needs to come before God as a beggar. No, as children we come to our Heavenly Father and say, Lord, today we have heard your word. Fill us, seal your word in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And don't forget this thought. Both are combined with the term promise. It is the Holy Spirit of promise. As we have read, you have been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of promise accompanies the word of promise. To seal the promised word in those who believed it. And this is what distinguishes the true bright church of the living God, the church of the Lord, from all others. that are merely anointed, the word of promise and the spirit of promise, come upon the children of God's promise. And thus Paul writes to the Galatians, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. The word went forth, it was believed, the promise was a reality. So it is today. We have heard the word for this time, the promises. We have received them. The spirit of promise accompanies the word of promise and comes upon all who believed it. Who can still find it difficult to believe? God could not have made it any easier. And now we want to thank Him from the bottom of our hearts, because He has said it and He does it. Praise be to His holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Hallelujah. Let us all simply tell the Lord in silence and worship what moves our hearts. Hallelujah. Faithful God, we thank You with all our hearts that every word is true. We have received the word of truth. We have believed all the words of promise. Faithful God, now we are here to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Dear Lamb of God, bless us. Bless us as You have blessed all the firstborn. Lord, You have made Your word great and precious to us. We love You and we thank You that You have looked upon us graciously. Hallelujah. O Lord, loosen our tongues, anoint our lips, open our hearts and our mouths, that together we may thank You with one accord for what You have done. Hallelujah. Great and marvelous things You have done. Hallelujah. O God, You have called us out of millions of people. You have pardoned us. You have forgiven us. You have atoned for us. You have given us new life. Faithful God, we thank You for this. Hallelujah. O God. Hallelujah. Lord, my God, heaven and earth may burn, hills and mountains may fade, but he who believes will find, as the song goes, hallelujah. Oh, say hallelujah for once. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Lord, we love You. We love Your word. Faithful Lord, we may love one another in Your divine love. Hallelujah. Lord, You know the circumstances that we cannot pray as we would like in this place. Yet we thank You for the spirit of promise accompanies the word of promise, and that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. It can happen now, because You are present, You are here through Your Holy Spirit to seal us all. Lord, I thank You I praise you. Here is your blood-bought multitude. Your people are gathered in your name. Hallelujah. Praise, honor and glory be to you. We are redeemed. We are delivered. We are your people. Lord, we thank you for the word of promise and for the spirit of promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my God, let us not be in offense in this house. May we be a blessing, God's blessing. Oh Lord, come upon all in a mighty way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. To your wonderful and holy name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God.